Yeah, you know, the funny thing about John Mayer in Bridgeport is that Margaret hates John Mayer.
So. Oh, I know. I know. That's why I posted that. I've talked with her about John Mayer. He's pretty hateable in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. He's awful. Yeah, yeah. I've been debating on what to write about that album for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure quite what to say.
Yeah. He's a talented songwriter. And he's a talented musician. And I mean, my guess is that he's, you know, I don't know. He's probably grown up a lot, but whatever. Yeah, no, I like that. I don't know. I'm happy to do the podcast. I don't know what to say. I haven't been thinking about anything but this thing since Thursday.
Let's just talk about something stupid then.
All right. I don't even know what it would be.
Well, okay, we could just talk about something completely off the cuff, I guess. I was trying to think, too, about what do we talk about this week? You know, it was like, it was tough to think of anything in particular that...
Well, the big thing here, I mean, in Kentucky, the big thing, of course, is the eclipse.
Oh, yeah. So, do you remember the eclipse in 1979?
No, not really. You know, do you?
Yeah, I do. We were home, I remember, and we made our little boxes so we could watch it, you know, the pinhole boxes.
Yeah.
So we could watch it. And I remember being so scared to look at the sun at all.
Sure.
Because there was all this fear over don't look at the sun, don't look at the sun, don't look at the sun. And I still don't understand what that means. Like, I guess the assumption is because you can look at it longer, people will look at it too long and they'll damage their retinas. Is that what it comes down to?
I think that it's that on the, when the light is funneled, that's a great question. I have no idea.
I don't
make it up. I mean, I'll tell you what the made up answer in my mind is, and I have no idea if this is right. Isn't the light that does come through, isn't it more intense because it's condensed?
I don't know.
Down to that.
See, I think it's just the fact that, you know, it's the same as it all, like the rays that damage your eye are the same as ever. It's just that you can look at it longer because the light's not there. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what it is. I think Rachel's overhearing this and yelling in what the answer is. Oh, here she comes. Come on. Come be a guest star on the podcast.
Yeah, you can be on the podcast.
Don't be a... If you want to enter into the show, get on the show. Now, here comes my wife, Rachel. Yes, we're podcasting. Go. No, tell the story. It's fine. We're not using last names. You're good.
The deal is that the sun changes shape. And so the way it looks like it's changing shape. And so people will want to watch that appearance change. And they'll look at the sun and watch it change.
So it's a psychological problem. You're actually just drawn into it more.
You're never supposed to look at the sun.
That's what I mean, though, is that you're more, because it's different, you're going to be more inclined to stare at it.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to be...
Watch it change.
And you want to see it change.
You can't look at the sun.
It's a psychological
thing. You're not supposed to look at the sun, period, but you certainly shouldn't look at it for 4 hours.
So it's that it's right. Like a gateway drug to staring at the sun.
No, she's saying what I was saying, which is that, you know, the damage is still going to happen, but you can look at it longer because it's darkened out.
No, in totality, you can look at it. During the totality, the minute or two or however much your place has, you're welcome to look at it. You can take off your glasses and everything.
I just want to say.
Really? See, here, we're not getting a total, so they're warning us here even more stringent. Like,
Don't look at it without glasses.
Right. Yeah, we're getting a 95% coverage or something like that. So
that's nothing.
But we get totality.
Oh, I know.
Totality, you can take off the glasses.
Well, you know, back in the 80s, some friends and I said we would meet in Paducah in 2017 behind the library to watch the solar eclipse. But
was I one of those?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that.
You were down in that conversation.
Who were you making plans with instead of me?
Kevin and Mina.
Oh, yeah.
All right. right, Matthew. It's great. It was great talking to you.
Good talking to you.
This is great. And I just want to say to my special fans on the podcast that to my special fans on the podcast, that was a very exciting moment for me because I've probably talked more to you two people than the two people that were just on. That I've talked more to you two people over the course of my life than I have anybody.
That's isn't that interesting? Probably true.
Isn't that a rare experience to be in conversation with those two people?
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah, isn't that odd?
Hey, Eric, here we go. We're just going random stuff today.
Okay, great.
Because, you know, we got to lighten the mood.
My mood. No, I appreciate it.
So there's only one movie that has sold an estimated tickets, movie tickets, in the U.S. and Canada of more than 200,000 tickets or 200 million tickets, sorry. What movie was that? Only across, one.
Across over both the United States and Canada.
Yep. Box office tickets sold over 200 million. There's only one movie that's ever sold over 200 million, according to Wikipedia, of course.
Okay. Well, the only two guesses that I would that come to mind are Star Wars or Gone with the Wind.
You're very good. Gone with the Wind is the only one. It sold 202 million tickets. Star Wars is the number two of all time. It sold 178 million.
There's part of me that thought about last week, now getting back to the story we were talking about before the podcast started, it made me think, maybe I need to read Gone with the Wind. But you know what? That's a waste of time.
Mom and I talked about that recently because we both read that book at different times in our lives. Yeah.
Is it good? It must be, or you wouldn't have finished it.
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah, it's good. The book is, you've seen the movie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's much like the movie and, you know, it's really more about Scarlett.
Does the movie actually cover the scope of the book or does it just pull out like a little snippet of the book?
No, it does a very good job of covering the book. I mean, there's a lot of detailed stuff they cut out, obviously, but. The basic ideas and the basic premise of the book, they pretty much cover.
Okay.
To be honest with you, I don't recall reading it and thinking, wow, you know, they're really leaving out a bunch of stuff. I mean, it's really a romance novel. It's not trying to take some hard look at how the North treated the South or.
Right.
I mean, there's some of that in there that you don't get, obviously, in the movie, but not like I was kind of thinking it would be.
Only to the extent that it serves the romance story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So ticket sales, what do you think's the third movie? I love lists, so.
Yeah, you do love lists.
And never have guessed this movie, I'll just say that.
Okay. All right, well, that's a good clue.
Give you the year. Do you want the year?
Well, give me the, no, hang on. Let me take a guess in the dark first, okay? Based on what you're saying, okay, how about 2001, A Space Odyssey?
Nope. I don't know where that's at, but no.
That's fine. Okay, then give me the decade.
It was in the 60s.
Yeah.
I know.
Graduate? No.
No.
No, I don't know.
Although The Graduate's number 22 on the list.
Wow. Okay, what... okay, give me the year. Give me the specific year.
1965.
Okay.
When the Hills Were Alive.
Oh, wow. Sound of Music.
Yes. Strange?
That is strange. You know, though, that makes sense. I guess I didn't realize that movie was that popular. I mean,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I would have never guessed that. I would have never guessed that.
We just had a thing. We just had a thing come up at our church denominational, the Christian Church of Disciples of Christ General Assembly, and we passed a resolution. We had a resolution come up about better Christian Church of Disciples of Christ in North America is, of course, both United States and Canada, but. Like almost all the conversations are always U.S. centric, and we almost always hold. I think we always have held the General Assembly in the United States, and so anyway, we had a resolution from the whole region the denomination is broken up into regions. And like, for example, Kentucky is its own region because there's a bunch of disciples in Kentucky. But the whole nation of Canada is one region because there's not that many disciples in Canada. And anyway, they were just talking about more sensitivity to their particularities, you know, that was really needed at the denominational level, but talking about how, like, you know, geography, like the problems of trying to represent a whole geography that large and that sort of thing. Anyway, so it's made me think more just about not just the church denomination, but other bodies and how, anyway, boy, that was a, our thousands of listeners just totally tuned out for that little pointless paragraph. But anyway, that's interesting. But I think I'm going to pay attention to football, by the way.
Oh, you connect. Are?
Yeah. You know what? I am. Not
it's funny. I was thinking about just the opposite. I thought, you know, I think maybe I just stop tuning in.
I understand, and I think you should. I mean, and I think that probably is the correct way to be, and I'll probably come to it. But I think I'm going to come to it a year too late because seriously, you know, there's just, I don't know. I'm not.
I'll follow it through podcasts. You know, I listen to Tony. And,
so I'll do it at least one more year. I'm going to pay attention to football one more year.
I'll listen to Kornheiser and I'll listen to Bill Barnwell, and that'll be enough for me, probably.
Yeah. Well, and I can bring you up to speed each week on our podcast.
But, you know, I mean, I no longer have a partner to do the TUCFC site.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't really want to live blog games or anything.
Yeah,
and so it seems like a good time to just sort of walk away.
But you're gonna miss the color era.
I'll hear all about it. I'll give you another one here. Okay.
Okay.
Try to put these in order of tickets sold. Okay.
Oh my God. Okay.
I'm gonna give you three.
Okay.
The 2017 version of Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
Tootsie.
Uh-huh.
Or The Sixth Sense.
I would guess Tootsie the highest, Sixth Sense second, and the Beauty and the Beast third.
It's actually Sixth Sense, Beauty and the Beast, and Tootsie.
I was way off.
But Tootsie sold more than Smokey and the Bandit, so...
Wait a second. Which one was first of those three?
The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense was higher than Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. Okay. Aren't like generally, isn't like the movie industry in the bottom falling out or something?
That's been the big story all year. That's why I was surprised to see that's
what I was basing it on. I'm putting them in last.
So have you ever seen the movie The Best Years of Our Lives?
Yes. Yeah. You love that movie.
I really do love that movie. And in fact, I was talking about the movie yesterday with Dad. But yeah, that movie is really interesting. I mean, to skirt along the edge of political stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things that movie made me understand that I never understood when I was growing up in high school until I saw that movie was that not everybody was anti-Germany. You know, there were a lot of people in the United States who thought we should just stay out of it. And
sure. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And thought the Germans were on the right track. So.
Or they had, they may not have even thought they were on the right track, but still thought we should stay out of it for kind of like, but it doesn't directly impact the United States.
Right. We just shouldn't get involved. Right.
Or that there were just so many, you know, German immigrants who had family back there and didn't want us to, you know, all that kind of jazz. So, Dad talked about how, you know, now I've never seen any evidence of this otherwise, but I suspect he was telling the truth about this. But he said that he remembers going to a parade in Evansville, Indiana, before
bombing on Pearl Harbor before U.S. entry into the war. But the big Nazi demonstration during some kind of civic parade in Evansville. And he can remember these demonstrators, and they were part of, they were part of the parade. And he can remember them waving the Nazi flag on the steps of the Vandenberg County Courthouse in Evansville. Because it's such a heavy German population. Sure.
I just think it's interesting, when I was a kid, I always just assumed that, it was just a no-brainer sort of thing. But right. One of the things I think, one of the reasons I love that movie so much is I think we tend to think of people coming back from World War II and never having any problems for some reason. And I think that movie does a really good job for a generation that's completely removed from that to understand that, there was a lot of animosity over the war. There was a lot of animosity aimed toward the soldiers when they came back.
Yes.
They dealt with the same sort of PTSD issues that soldiers deal with today. Yeah. They just didn't call it PTSD. It was a really hard thing. And I think too often we don't understand that, we're so far removed from it and we want to think of World War II is just this glorious victory. We don't understand what it actually cost the country. And we certainly don't think about what it cost the rest of the world.
So, okay. This is a different experience of you and me growing up together. So we were born to parents of different generations.
Sure.
Now I can tell you that for me, when I saw the best years of my life, there was nothing surprising in it about it.
Sure.
I mean, having, and it's not for any other reason than just I had a parent who fought in World War II and he hated the war and he got rid of all of his medals. He would not accept the GI Bill. He called me the night that we started bombing in the Gulf War. I was in Bowling Green. I think I've told you the story, but I certainly haven't talked about it here. He called me the night the war started. He and Mom were both on the phone, and he was deadly serious that if they started the draft and if I felt like that I needed to leave the country, he totally understand and never call home,
right.
Never phone so that I can't be traced. It wasn't at all angry. He thought that would be the right move to leave the country if we went to war and they started the draft. He thought it was totally about, he knew everything about which entrepreneurs got industrial rights in Northern Africa and all throughout the South Pacific. And he couldn't believe that, he had such anger at MacArthur's family. And the fact that he felt like that he had been, sent down there to basically protect their money rights in the South Pacific. And, he felt like that he had been absolutely brainwashed at a very young age. And he hated it. He could not, when he'd come and visit me when I was living in Washington, D.C., he couldn't go to the, he had such a hatred for Japanese people that he could not go downtown to the monuments, and he hated that about himself.
Sure.
He thought that he was this weird combination of very much a patriot. The flag came out every flag day, every time, he felt a very strong sense of connection to his country, and he thought he had been sold a lie and that it was unjust and had nothing to do with nobility. Nothing.
I always wonder what your dad would have thought about a movie like 24 Eyes. I don't know if we've ever talked about this.
I've never seen that.
But so in Japan post-war,
right,
there were a lot of filmmakers who came out with films that essentially look back on the decision to go to war and the drive up to war and everything. And essentially everything you're saying is everything that movie said about the Japanese government, that, they essentially took these kids, they convinced them that it was their duty and their you know, they had to essentially give their lives for their country to protect the interest of who, you know, like the wealthy people in the country. And that because of that, a whole generation of men essentially were killed.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I always wondered about killed that, them. You know, huh?
Killed or their lives ruined. Dad felt like, you know, he would never, the happiest year of Dad's life was the last year when he knew he was about to die. I mean, that was absolutely the happiest he was. And he, you know, the least conflicted. And he talked about that every time one of his kids was born, his first thought was the particular face of this one Japanese soldier that he killed in hand to hand. And he found out, he realized after the fact that the guy was unarmed and had probably been trying to tell him. And, you know, same age guy, basically, right. And that sort of thing. And he felt like, you know, here he had taken this guy. And he was collecting earlobes at that point. That's what they did. They were, that's why he checked over this guy's body after he killed him, because they were cutting off their earlobes and putting them on a necklace. And so he had this very strong moment of, you know, repentance, you know, kind of coming. That was it. That was the end of childhood. You know, he had been led in sort of like brutal as, you know, and he had signed up early to go early. He signed up at 16 and got his dad to sign for him, because of, you know, a gung-ho sense of things. And by the way, a large part of it was, is because it was absolutely the best career opportunity available to him, is to go into the military.
Sure.
And his dad believed that. And they picked out the Seabees, the construction battalion, so that it was a career opportunity. It was like going to college. So that, because they kind of thought, well, the war will probably be over fast, and then you come back and get into the construction business like my grandfather was, and that'd be good. He'll learn a trade. And he did, boy. I mean, Dad could build anything, and he learned that mostly from the, I mean, he learned some from his dad, but he learned a lot from being in the Seabees. And, but then once he got in, then he was also taught to be a killer.
Right.
And to totally hate. And I mean, that's what he would say, is that he was taught to be a killer. And, you know, and he did a lot. He killed a lot of guys. And then he killed that one guy. And he had been doing something wrong. Like, he had kind of like, not wrong, but he had sort of like taken his eye off the ball and kind of gotten separated from his group. There's some kind of story around that. And so he felt, there was a lot of guilt specific to that guy, because he kind of like, he had the sense of, if he hadn't been so lackadaisical at one point, then he wouldn't have found himself in the situation. And he ended up killing this guy in hand to hand, and goes to cut off his earlobes, and he realizes he's unarmed, and the guy was probably trying to tell him. And, you know, he saw that guy's face for the rest of his life, and anything good that ever happened to him, that's what he thought about, was how he'd taken those opportunities from that guy.
Sure.
And he just thought, and consequently, I mean, take it for what you want, whether this was an incorrect conclusion. I mean, it was his life. I mean, he gets to choose, you know, and the conclusion he drew was that the whole ball of wax, the whole, you know, that you cannot separate. I mean, he felt like that for whatever good U.S. involvement in World War II had done, and it wasn't, you know, and there would have been tragedies. I mean, there were tragedies when the U.S. was not involved, and there would have been more tragedies if the U.S. had not gotten involved. But he felt like, you know, it was ultimately, on balance, you know, a wrong deal. And he was not alone. And by the way, when I was a reporter, and I'm sorry to just dominate this conversation.
No, you're fine.
When I was a reporter in Evansville, and when I was really doing those kinds of stories, if you actually go, I found that when I went and did like little Veterans Day event stories,
sure,
and if I actually found the quiet people that were there at those events, and if they, I'm not talking about people who dropped bombs, and I'm not talking about people that, you know, that were somewhat removed, but if you talk to people that were actually seeing people they were killing face to face, I never met one who didn't feel the same way Dad did.
Right.
we're just not built to do that stuff.
No.
That's not why we're here. So it's just wrong.
I think one of the better, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie, The Straight Story.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think one of the scene with the two guys in the bar, you know, talking about World War II and their experiences, and the fact that that's essentially haunted them their whole lives.
Yeah.
And it's influenced who they are, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think that's a thing we miss. For some reason, I don't know if it's just time.
Oh.
The economy boomed soon after the war, and that helped, obviously, to sort of mask everything. So
it masks everything. The other thing, too, is that the standard of living, I mean, everything changes, like refrigeration and plastics and, modern life. And it transformed, millions of lives.
Yeah, women getting more involved in the workplace.
I don't know. Oh, what a mess. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to net all that stuff out. And, we also, there's part of me too that thinks about, but if we'd only gone earlier, all those people being killed in those concentration camps, maybe at the back end there was 500,000 we could have prevented from that happening.
Sure.
And so we should have gone sooner.
No,
you know?
I know what you mean.
I don't know.
Ugh. Well, at least we kept the conversation upbeat and positive today. That was...
I'm sorry.
I'm the one that went down that road. So, that's looking at this list of, see, that's the problem when things are like this in the world. It's like you look at a simple list of, top movies of all time, and you can go down a bad path. So,
yeah.
that's just where the world's at right now. It's okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's just awful. I don't know.
Has there been anything in the Old Kentuckys that you thought was really interesting? Because I was reading through those last night and thinking, there's not much really going on,
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. I got nothing for you. I got to get back to work.
Yeah, same here.
Let's just try to salvage it next week. I thought about, I did think about.
This will be a good episode.
Yeah. What I did think about is that are you working Monday? You're working, aren't you?
Yeah. Why is Monday something?
I was thinking that maybe we should do try to do something during the podcast, during the clips. But
I'll be at work, and I'll actually have Mabel with me.
Yeah, I just forgot though. I just made plans with family. No, I can't do that.
I'll have Mabel with me on Tuesday too. So.
Bump to
so maybe she can join the podcast.
Oh, that would be cool if you're game for that.
Yeah, we just have to come up with something to talk about.
That'd be in my house. That'd be grounds for divorce, so I wouldn't be able to do that. But
she's done podcasts before,
Yeah, that's true. You guys already have a different podcast.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, that's fine with me. I'd be thrilled to talk with Mabel.
All right, well, we'll see.
Yeah, let's see what's going on. All right, I'm sorry, I'm in such a bad mood.
No, it's okay.
All right. That's
where we're at right now.
Yep. Okay.
I'll talk to you later. Did you listen to either of the last two podcasts?
Nope, I've been bad. I'm sorry.
What's wrong with you?
I know.
I was so excited for you to hear the songs I picked last week. I thought,
I will listen to them. It's not like I've lost them. I will.
Not last week, the week before, the one around the artificial intelligence stuff. I thought they were kind of fun. Last week, I couldn't think of what to come up with. And as I was trying to do it, Margaret came into the room, and I thought, I'll just pick songs that Margaret likes. So,
that's a good idea. Yeah.
So you got some Cat Stevens and
John Mayer, a bunch of John Mayer songs.
Cat Stevens and Billy Joel.
That's good. That is Margaret music. You should do John Mayer in and John Mayer out.
Yeah, it's okay.
Review. All right. I'll talk to you.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye. Yeah,